Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and as promised, Dr. Edward Sree with us this hour. His latest book is Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ. Dr. Sree is the author of many books. He is the Vice President of Mission and Outreach at the Augustine Institute in Denver, Colorado. He's one of the founders with Curtis Martin of Fellowship of Catholic University Students, probably one of the finest Catholic outreach groups in the world. Really, really impressive. Most recently, before this, his latest book was Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. As I said, the new book is Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ. Dr. Edward Sree, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I tell you what, I love the book, and I really like that this idea that maybe more needs to be said about discipleship, because we talk all the time about being disciples of Christ, but I think that that has a tendency to become maybe, I don't think cliched is the word, but kind of just, it becomes part of the furniture, you know, and we don't really think about what it is to be a disciple.
Yeah, this is a really important theme in Scripture, and it's certainly one that Pope Francis has been emphasizing. We see it a lot in the U.S. Bishops' Conference and many dioceses and parishes, a lot of things being written on this topic. So a lot of people in pastoral ministry today really turning to this important biblical theme of following Jesus as a disciple. But I want to write this to help give a little more clarification. What do we really mean by discipleship? We can come up with our own little definitions and ideas, but in the end, I think it's always best to let God's word really speak to us. And so that's what the book starts off doing, really grounding it in Scripture, putting the reader into the world of what it was like to be a first century Jew who might be a disciple following a rabbi, or what would it have been like to follow Jesus as a disciple? What was that relationship like? And then make the connection to what does that tell us about our walk with Jesus today? And when we go into the Scriptures like this, it really provides a great spiritual roadmap for our own pursuit of Christ and holiness, relationship with Him, and then also grounds us in the key habits we need to really follow Jesus effectively today.
And so you start with that, with the story of Peter, and I was struck by that because I had never known. Maybe I'm admitting ignorance that I shouldn't admit, but I had not known that part of the gospel where the risen Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" that he uses two different forms of the word love there, and that the first two times he's talking about agape love, which is really hard, self-surrendering love. And then, you tell it, because I think it's very important to understanding what it means that Peter is a disciple of Christ.
Yeah, this is something Pope Benedict himself has drawn out beautifully, and I'm just building on him and his beautiful insights. But you know, I put the reader in the shoes of Peter, and this is that famous conversation along the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection. Jesus says a simple question: "Do you love me?" And at first glance, we as readers are going, "Of course, Peter loves Jesus. I mean, this is the guy that dropped his fishing nets and followed Jesus. This is Peter, the rock upon which the church is being built. Of course." This should be a no-brainer. Peter loves Jesus, but the word that Jesus uses in the Greek text, at least, would make Peter pause. It says, agape, do you love me with that, as you described it, that total, unconditional, sacrificial love, the love that Jesus models on the cross? Jesus isn't talking about ordinary human affection, ordinary friendship. There's another word in Greek that he could have chosen, philia, to describe that. But he says, no, do you love me with this higher level love? And I think Peter, you know, maybe earlier in his career, in all of his youthful zeal, he probably would have said to Jesus, oh yeah, of course I give you agape love. Yeah, I go to prison with you. I die with you. That's what Peter said. But after Holy Thursday, remember what happened then? You know, after denying Jesus three times, we have a more humble, deep Peter here. It's a beautiful moment because Peter comes back and he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And that's what it says in English. But if you look behind the English, the word for love is not agape, what Jesus used. It's the word philia, describing that philia love. You, Lord of all people, know how far away I am from agape. The best I can offer you, Jesus, is my weak, imperfect love, philia. And I love that moment because it's a moment of humility for Peter. This isn't the sanguine Peter earlier in the Gospels. This is humble, honest, self-awareness here, and he accepts where he is. And then Jesus will ask him a second time, once again, do you give me agape love? And it's, no, I can't do that, Jesus. And finally, at the end of the story, Jesus changes the word. He doesn't change the standard of love, but he comes down to meet Peter where Peter's at. And he says, okay, Peter, do you love me with filial love? I'll take just that.
Yeah.
And then Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know, that's all I can give you. And I love that because it's beautiful for us to know that we want to give God, you know, this great, perfect love. But most of us, right, if we're honest, we're going to go, we're not there yet. We're like Peter. And Jesus, thank you for being willing to take even this weak, broken love that I give you, this imperfect love, because Jesus wants to take that. And that's the starting point for our spiritual life to take off if we dare to meet him there. He'll take our weak filial love and then transform it into agape.
888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to talk with Dr. Edward Sree about being transformed through discipleship to Christ. 888-318-7884. And I suppose maybe one of the temptations we have, or I don't know if it's a temptation or a burden that we carry, maybe they're the same thing, is that I've got to get my stuff together and get in order and then present myself to Jesus as a as a candidate for discipleship. But the story that's why I love that story about Peter is that's not at all how it works. It's after realizing I cannot do this. I can't, you know, as like you said, Peter wanted to follow him to death and prison and all, but he just couldn't do it. And it's after that discipleship begins. It's with the realization that, oh, that's the point of discipleship, is he's going to give it to me. He's going to make it possible for me to do this that I want to do.
Yeah, that's the most amazing part of the story, is once Peter acknowledges, again, earlier he would have said, I give you agape love, but now he's humbled and he goes, I can't do it. That's when Jesus comes in and does this amazing work in Peter's soul. Right away, the gospel story, you can read about this in John 21, tells us that Jesus starts talking about how one day, Peter, you will live agape love now. One day you're going to be taken where you don't want to go, and your arms will be stretched out. And it's a prophecy about how he's going to be taken to Rome and imprisoned there, and then he's going to end up having his arms stretched out and crucified upside down in Nero's circus. So Peter will indeed live cruciformity. He's going to live Christ-like agape love, right? But it had to begin here at this first moment of presenting himself as he really is. And I really like how you said that, you know, too often we want to present ourselves in the ideal. This is what I wish I could be. And then when I get my act together, then Jesus will love me. And then I could be a good Christian disciple. Right. No. The first step of discipleship is admitting I can't do it. And right. Once that happens, great things can start to take off in our spiritual lives.
Right. 888-318-7884, our number, Dr. Edward Sree, our guest. We're talking discipleship with Christ, and the discipleship in the way that you explain it and understand it and give us to understand it in this book, it's not maybe like what we see on TV with the TV preacher who talks about discipleship, or maybe even not quite what we're getting in catechism class, maybe. The biblical idea of discipleship is something really all-encompassing.
Yeah, you know, to put ourselves into that first century Jewish world, what did it mean to be a disciple? If I had to pick one biblical word that really gets to the heart of discipleship, it would be the word imitation. Imitation. The idea is that if you're a disciple, you're not just showing up at your rabbi's classes and taking notes and passing an exam like we do in modern university settings. No. You share a meal with him, you watch the He studied, he interacted with his family, he served the people, he debated other rabbis, and the whole way of life of the rabbi was meant to rub off on you. You were imitating his way of life. And so when Jesus is gathering disciples, what does he do? He takes them on basically a 3-year camping trip. They go camping all around Galilee for 3 years. And if you've ever been camping with someone, you really get to know them, don't you?
Right.
You know, but the disciples, that's what they're doing. They're watching Jesus pray. They're watching him forgive sinners and help the poor and heal the sick and reach out to those that are the outcasts. And that whole way of life would have left a greater impression than any single lecture he gave. And so Jesus himself says in Luke 6:40, when a disciple is fully trained, he becomes like the master.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're called to do. You know, we're following Jesus today. And if we want to follow him as disciples, that means we're striving to imitate him. We want to become like him. And I think that's the real challenge here. You know, just because we're Catholics who go to church on Sunday, love Catholic things, we listen to great Catholic books, we go to pro-life conferences, we're very Orthodox, all of that is wonderful. That's essential to be a faithful Catholic, indeed, indeed. And yet Jesus is asking for something more. He doesn't just want us to get the right answers on a quiz. He doesn't just want us to show up on Sunday. He wants our hearts and all our hearts. Are we striving to become more like him, to think like him? Are we striving to weigh the things of this world the way Jesus would weigh them? What's important to Jesus should be important to me. Or do I sometimes think, well, this is really more important, and I spend all this time and energy doing stuff that isn't really at the heart of what Jesus is all about? Am I really striving to imitate Christ? That, I think, is the crucial question for us today.
Again, Dr. Edward Sree, our guest, our number 888-318-7884. One of the things that strikes me, too, about this book is the deep, profound, and convincing sense of hope that it has, that life actually can be transformed. I think many of us maybe who have tried, you know, the various diets or tried the various workouts or whatever, all the things that we keep still being us. I have a tendency to think real transformation is not possible. That's not what this book would suggest to you. Into his likeness, be transformed as a disciple of Christ is the book. More with Dr. Edward Sree and your calls right after this.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a savings of over 70%. Both the book and the DVD were made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or the DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5 each, just call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Whatever I have learned, writes Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating, I have learned from the masters of the craft. In his new book, Booked for Life, a bibliographic memoir of an accidental apologist, Carl gives future generations a roadmap of what it takes and what it means to become a Catholic apologist. In the way only Carl can, he recounts numerous real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he's learned. Then, drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. Order your copy of Booked for Life today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clear witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Are you ready to be transformed through discipleship to Christ? This book will really help you into his likeness. Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ, the latest book from Dr. Edward Sree, who is at the Augustine Institute there in Colorado. You've been on sabbatical for a little while, but you're back to teaching, right?
Yeah, I just launched back in. It's great to be back in the classroom. We've got a great, great crew of students here on campus and many studying with us from around the country, around the world through our distance ed program. So I'm just thrilled to be back teaching again.
Well, we're really glad to have you here. We have lots and lots of callers. How about we head to some of those callers and take folks' questions on discipleship to Christ?
Great.
All right, let's go to Todd in Houma, Louisiana, listening on 690 AM. Todd, you are on with Dr. Edward Sree. Your question, please.
Hello, how are you doing?
Dr. Doing well, Todd.
Sree? Is it Dr. Sree?
Dr. Sree, yes, S-R-I.
Okay. I listen to a national public radio from where I am, and I've this morning they had a feature on loneliness and the ramifications that that has on the United States. As a matter of fact, Great Britain, I heard on the news, had a government post dedicated to loneliness. But what I would like to say is that I think that the Catholic Church and Christianity in general has a prime opportunity to emphasize that there is an interior life that transcends the personal loneliness that one can feel.
Todd, I'm going to let Dr. Sree respond to that, and we'll come right back to you. But that's a striking point. Dr. Sree, how do you respond?
Yeah, and I think this theme of discipleship is really helpful for that point. Yeah, certainly, as the modern world has turned away from the gospel, has turned away from just traditional values of family and friendship and virtue, it's not no surprise that people experience greater loneliness, insecurity, just a sense that they're not really known, they're not really loved. And we have a wonderful opportunity, as you say, and not just for opportunity, but responsibility to go and share God's love with people, that they know that maybe they haven't experienced great love in their families. Maybe they've experienced brokenness in their marriages. Maybe they're just they're just unknown in the world that they're living right now. And yet those souls that are lonely are so loved by God. This is the mission of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa saw not just the poor on the streets, but she had a vision of when she was called to start the Missionaries of Charity. She had people from all over the world in this vision, all different kinds of people, and they're all reaching out to her in this darkness, and they're reaching out to her and saying, come, show us Jesus. And that was the mission that Jesus gave her. He certainly was to serve the lonely that are suffering on the streets of Calcutta and in poverty around the world. But as another... Because it wasn't a material poverty. That's easy. You know, you can solve material poverty in the sense of you give someone a blanket, you give them some food, you give them some money. But the harder forms of poverty to solve are those that are lonely, those that don't experience love. And I've been blessed to go to Calcutta, and I've talked to the sisters there, and many of the sisters who are working all over these, I mean, really, really hard, poor conditions, they told me that the hardest place they ever served was the United States of America. Not even close to Calcutta. Calcutta is so much easier to serve. Why? Because in Calcutta, they at least have families. They at least have people who love each other and they care for each other. I mean, they have breakdown too, but more than the United States. The United States has a great hunger for love, and we need to bring the love of Christ to those people.
Todd, does that address what you were getting at?
Right. I'm just wondering why the Catholic Church doesn't put more of an accent on the interior life, and there is a way that one can be self-satisfied and inner-directed so that we're not vulnerable to our surroundings and circumstances in life.
Dr. Sri?
And on that point, I have a whole chapter in this book. It's called The Primacy of the Interior Life. Because first of all, I mean, I need to experience love from other human beings, but fundamentally, I need to know that I'm loved by God. And that comes with my own divine intimacy, my own personal encounter with Jesus. And so I think you're right on that that's a crucial thing. And at the same time, I would say, because we're human beings, we're made for a relationship, we're made to live in community. You know, unless you have an extraordinary call to be a hermit and to, you know, live a solitary life, most human beings are we're all called to have some kind of interaction with others. We encounter Jesus in fellowship with other people. So amen to interior life, and that we can overcome our loneliness by knowing how loved we are by God. And yet at the same time, as human persons, God wants us to experience his love also through other people. And so let's go out and reach the lonely with the gospel and with our own love.
Todd, since the point that you are making is actually a chapter in the book, I'd like to send you the book. Can you just hang on, Todd, and we'll get your address, and I'll send you a copy of Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ, Edward Sri's latest book. And I appreciate the call there, Todd. We go now to John in Lawton, Oklahoma. It says King of Eternal Glory. I don't think you are the King of Eternal Glory, John. You must be listening on King of Eternal Glory Radio.
That is correct.
Okay.
I'm out in Lawton, Oklahoma, listening on KOEG, King of Eternal Glory Radio.
Oh, great. Thank you. Your question for
it. That would be amazing if Jesus was calling in.
That would be. I don't feel prepared somehow.
My question is, I'd like to go back to that theme you were developing before about agape versus philios. And the question I have, I guess, is kind of a technical one. Because from the conversation you were having, one could have implied that Jesus spoke in Greek to Peter, which is not likely the case. So what I'm saying, I guess the question is, are there corresponding words in Aramaic that would allow accurate word-for-word translations by the selection of the Greek words agape and philios? Or is it possible that that difference is really an artifact of a translation gap between those languages? And I'll have to take my answer offline, but thank you for hearing me.
Oh, beautiful question. I love that question. And I will say this, you know, in terms of is it directly corresponding to the Aramaic? I don't think so. I would want to look in that to make sure. But I don't think that there would have been the original like that. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit is inspiring this text. And St. John, the beloved disciple, the one who authored this text, was there, you know, and he was there when this conversation was going on. And I think the Holy Spirit and St. John both know that this is a beautiful theme of what Jesus is doing with Peter. So it is in the inspired text of Sacred Scripture, and the Holy Spirit and St. John himself were wanting us to just notice, oh, wow, you know, it's a slightly different word there, and that's maybe pointing to something. So great, great, great insightful question, though. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for calling from King of Eternal Glory Radio. 888-318-7884, a number if you'd like to talk with Dr. Edward Sri about being transformed as a disciple of Christ. I said earlier, Dr. Sri, that there's a great sense of confident hope here that Christ really can change us, really can heal us. Why do you have that sense of hope that Christ will really do this for me?
Well, first of all, because he said he would. That's what he wants to do with all of us, right? You know, and then we have the witness of the saints that I bring into that section of the book a lot, you know, that these are men and women who really have been, they've transformed. They've gone through great struggles like we do, and yet they've made it to the other side. So first of all, you know, just Scripture tells us very clearly that what are we made for? We are made for transformation in Christ. We are made to be changed, St. Paul says, into Christ's likeness from one degree of glory to another. So that's what we're made for. But when we stare at ourselves, we look at ourselves and go, well, we're not quite there yet. I'm not yet all glorious. I got a lot, you know, maybe some noble qualities, but I got a lot of other areas where I need to work on. And how do I get from where I am now to where Christ wants me to be in perfection with him, transformed in him. How do I get from A to B? That's what discipleship's all about. And we come to see, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that we can't do this on our own. It's not like I just muster up some willpower and I'll just make myself really holy and I'll acquire one new virtue every single week. You know, the Nike approach does not work for spirituality. You remember the old Nike slogan, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think what happens is, we as Christians, we want to try to do it. We, you know, we learn something about the faith. We want to be better, and we sincerely. But we realize we can't fully pull it off. I tell the story in the book of my daughter Eleanor. And I think she may be listening inside the house with my wife now. But little Eleanor is my my little 20-month-old now. But earlier in the fall, you know, she was having her older siblings trying to teach her how to jump. And they were all encouraging her. Oh, everybody, jump, jump. They make a big circle around her. Come on, Eleanor, jump. And then she would, you know, squat her knees down, get in launching position, and she'd get all excited. But then she'd try, but she couldn't take off. And then she'd bend down again, and she'd try again. And she'd bend down a third time. And then after a while, she's just frustrated. I can't do this.
Dr. Sri, we have to hear the rest of the story on the other side. Sorry, we'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Okay.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answer's brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for joining us. January is Sanctity of Life Month, and still marches going on in various places, all kinds of walks and marches. And just the fact that you didn't see it on ABC or CBS or NBC, don't let that dissuade you. There were hundreds of thousands of people out there marching. You didn't imagine it all. It did, in fact, happen. But in celebration of Sanctity of Life Month, or in commemoration, I suppose, of the 45th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, we'd like to give you a persuasive pro-life how to talk about our culture's toughest issues at the lowest price that we can, and that is $5. If you'd like Trent Horn's magnificent book, Persuasive Pro-Life, for $5, just go to shop.catholic.com
Also, his DVD, Making the Case for Life, How to Talk About America's Toughest Issue, that also is there for just $5 at shop.catholic.com. These are some of the best resources available to equip yourself to answer questions put to you from those who support abortion. Shop.catholic.com. Right now, Dr. Edward Sree is our guest this hour. Wonderful new book from Dr. Sree, Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ. It's from Ignatius Press and the Augustine Institute. And Dr. Sree, lots and lots of calls about discipleship to Christ. Shall we go back to the phone lines?
Let's do it.
Oh, no, we can't. Because you were telling us about Eleanor who was trying to jump.
Little Eleanor. Yeah, okay, so I was telling the story. I use this as an analogy that my little daughter who's trying to jump, she'd squat down, get in launching position, but just couldn't get up in the air, and then all her sisters are trying to cheer her on, you could do it, and she still couldn't take off, and then after a while, I was trying several times and never getting lift off, she would just get frustrated. And that's what happens in our own spiritual lives, that we want to be better. We want to improve in a certain area of our life. We want to be better at committed to prayer. We want to be more generous, be more kind, and we find ourselves just not making that much progress, and we can get frustrated. And that's precisely our Peter moment. You know, that's when we become like Peter, and we're like, Lord, I can't give you this agape love, but this is the beautiful opportunity we have, is to say, but Lord, this is who I am. This is the best I can do all on my own, and I trust that you'll come down and meet me where I'm at. And that's what I do a little, and I'll bend down, I'll pick her up, and then I give her a big ride, and she loves flying through the air, but she can't do that on her own, certainly not yet.
Yeah, so that's the analogy, though, isn't it, that we need him to do it. We can't. I mean, I suppose in a certain way he wants to be to us as you are to Eleanor, that you don't intend to be doing it for her forever. You intend to give her the power, the strength that's needed to get lift off at some point. Not that she'll be completely separated from you, you're her father, or that we'll be completely separated from Christ, but if we won't accept that we can't do it, but he can, we're just not going to make progress.
Exactly. When we are utterly convinced of our own littleness, how small we really are, how weak we really are, it's at that moment that God like really blesses us and does extraordinary things. If he sees, he's just going to try to do it on his own, they're like, okay. I see my kids, they're going to try. I'll let them just keep trying. But then when they like, I can't do it, that's when I come down. And then I'll help them. And they get much higher than they could ever do on their own. And that happens with us, with the Lord as well.
And the chapter on real healing, real change, it's kind of the heart of the book. It's preceded by a chapter on forgiveness. And I really do think, taking calls here every day, I think very many people have a hard time accepting that they are among the forgiven, so to speak. You know, somehow I'm an exception to the rule that Christ forgives, heals, and changes us.
Yeah, I think we think, that God, we have to earn love. We have to earn God's love. We have to earn his forgiveness. That's just the world we live in today, right? I mean, how many people grow up thinking, love is based on how well I perform, how I treat, do I succeed? Do I achieve a lot? Do I present a good image of myself, so that people like me? Or I keep a certain dysfunctional family member happy so that then I can win their love. I'm always trying to do something to win love. But what we come to see is we encounter a God who reminds us so clearly that love cannot be earned. Love cannot be earned. It can only be received. And that's why it takes sometimes those Peter moments in our lives, those moments of humility, moments of brokenness, where then God comes in and we experience, and I still love you, even though you failed. I still love you, even though you sinned. I still love you, even though you did these horrible things. Or I still love you, even though you feel like junk inside and you feel like people don't treat you well. Whatever it is, when we experience God's love at that level, that's an experience of God's love that just turns our world upside down and changes everything. Because then moving forward, I go forward in my spiritual life, and just life in general, with a real confidence. A confidence that's based not on me and how well I perform and how well I keep other people happy. No, it's a love that's based on God himself, his love for me.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Edward Sree, our guest. We're talking about discipleship and the real change, the real healing that comes from being transformed in discipleship to Christ. We go now to Mark in St. Charles, Missouri, listening on a 1460 AM. Mark, you are on with Dr. Edward Sree.
Hi, thank you. Dr. Sri, I got to say, first of all, the book on the Mass was the greatest book I've ever read. Thank you so much for that book. I even bought it for other people, and they liked it also. But my question is that you brought up a point about transcending. I don't feel like I can get to, like, the St. Teresa of Avila to her death. Is that attainable for everybody?
I want to make sure I heard you say St. Teresa of Avila, but what part of St. Teresa do you feel like you can't attain?
Like one with God.
Oh, totally being at one with God, the deepest level of the interior castle. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, here's the thing, that Jesus said that we're called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. He said that he wants us to be transformed in Him. So these are things that He's calling us to. It reminds me of something that even St. Therese of Lisieux, another Carmelite, marveled at, that she saw that God gave a commandment, that is to love others as He loved us. And she was just overwhelmed by that. How could I possibly do this? I can't love like Jesus did. I can barely love just on a human level. And that's when she has this realization that I can't do it. That's true. I simply can't on my own. But God's going to have to do it with me. So now when it comes to the idea of being at one with God, I mean, that's what we're all made for. We're made for that. And we're going to have that if we're faithful, either in this life or, you know, or ultimately we'll have it in the fullest form in heaven. But the saints do stand before us, reminding us that they did achieve this profound union with God, like St. Teresa of Avila experienced. But it wasn't a sanctity that was all about just never having stains on your shirt and being perfect in everything. In other words, we sometimes think sanctity means there's no little stain on my soul, I never make a mistake. And I quote this beautiful line from Pope Benedict about what holiness really consists of. He says, "Holiness does not consist in never having erred or never sinned." And he says, you know, look, the saints, if you look at the saints, they were men and women with complicated problems like we have. The difference between them and us is that they persevered, they abandoned themselves to God, and trusted in Him to work through those difficult challenges in their lives. And because they then relied on His grace in the midst of their weakness, they really were changed. Pope Benedict goes on to say, quote, "It is not the fact that we have never erred, but our capacity for reconciliation and forgiveness which makes us saints." And so if we long for that union with God, we don't have it right now. Tell God that. Say, "Jesus, I want this union with You. I want to be better in this area of my spiritual life. I know how weak I am." When He sees us coming humbly like that, like Peter did, that's what, He just rushes down and He blesses us, and He'll lead us a couple more steps closer to Him. But it is a lifelong journey of being ever more transformed, as Paul says, from one degree of glory to another, from one incremental growth after another.
Mark, I wonder how that strikes you.
It gives hope. The only thing that concerns me is, like, he's talking about humility. Sometimes that pride gets in my way, it seems like, and I don't feel that, I just feel that I have to, I want to take control, and I don't always do the humility as much as I should.
You know what, Mark, I got to tell you, the fact that you said pride gets in your way, you want to take control, the fact that you're admitting that is like the first step of humility. There's a lot of people that go through life that they're not even aware of it. They have no self-awareness. They're not even trying to work on it. The fact that you know that, this is the beauty of what the saints say, is that you've got a little weakness like that, to simply name it and say it to Jesus. "Jesus, I often want control. I often struggle with pride." That actually is the first step of humility. So you already, I can tell, the fact that you're seeing something in yourself, if you continue to persevere in prayer, persevere in going to the sacraments, going to confession especially, and most of all, coming, just what you're doing right now is an act of growing in humility, going humbly before God and admitting, "I don't have it all together." When we are convinced of that, that's when God starts to do really amazing things in our soul.
Okay, Mark?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, God bless you, brother. Thank you for that call. It's hard for me to identify. I'm very good at humility. It's one of the things I'm best at. I feel really confident about that. But why are you laughing? That's serious. I mean, all right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the being transformed as disciples of Christ with Dr. Edward Sree right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's a tough life, spending an hour with Dr. Edward Sree talking about discipleship to Christ, but I just have to muddle through the tough parts of my job. Discipleship to Christ really, truly can transform your life, and I suppose it's one of the temptations of the devil that to say, oh, it won't work for you. You know, that Jesus stuff works for other people. It won't work for you. Well, if you need help getting over that, maybe that sense that your life is lacking that kind of transformation, I will highly recommend Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ, the latest book by Dr. Edward Sree. Our number here, if you'd like to talk to Dr. Sree, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. You kind of conclude the book talking about discipleship today. So you start with that idea of, well, if you really want to understand what discipleship is, you got to look at how the rabbis of the first century lived and how people basically, you know, became part of the life of their rabbi to learn from him how to be a holy person. But where do we go with discipleship today? What's the role of discipleship today in the world?
Yeah, you know, there's a beautiful image in the rabbinic period that I love to apply to today, and that is this. If you met a good rabbi, they would say, cover yourself with the dust of the rabbi. Cover yourself with the dust of the rabbi. It drew in an image of how the disciples would follow the rabbi on the streets, literally, so closely that the dust that was kicked up from the rabbi's heels would start to cover some of your garments. And so the idea is you want to follow your rabbi so closely. Our rabbi is Jesus Christ, and we follow him today, 2,000 years later. We may not be walking on sand, but we're walking on pavements of stone, and yet how do I draw so close to him that his life just showered over me and begins to change me? Well, in the last part of the book, I identify the four key habits of a disciple. That's, you know, this, and this is not I'm very clear on this. This is not Ted Sri's idea or his favorite four things to do. So, you know, there's many creative ways you can talk about discipleship. But I think, again, it's always important to ground these things in God's Word. And sacred scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, specifically singles out four of the key practices of the earliest disciples. Right there at the beginning, right after Pentecost, what did the disciples devote themselves to? These four things are so important that the Catholic Church, throughout the centuries, has always turned to these four elements in Acts 2:42 to sum up the Catholic faith. The whole catechism, the four pillars, are built off of these. So what are they? Prayer, fellowship, the sacraments, and the teachings of the apostles. So what do we mean by these four things? Well, first of all, I need to have a committed life of prayer, not just saying some prayers, not just going through devotions and saying, you know, even the rosary or the mass, which are the beautiful, you know, devotion and mass is the highest form of prayer, but to make my rosary praying or my mass or my frequenting of the sacraments as bear as much fruit as it can, I want to make sure that those graces are falling on the fertile soil of a deep interior life. Do I take, you know, 20 minutes a day to just spend quiet time in conversation intimately with Jesus, maybe meditating on the scriptures, doing Lectio Divina, some spiritual book, and I'm talking to him about it. I need that for my own spiritual life. I need the sacraments. I need to then go encounter Jesus, especially in the Eucharist and in confession. I need fellowship. You know, it can't just be me and Jesus on my own. I need other brothers that are running with me. Do I have people in my life that are striving after the same noble ideals of following Jesus? And do I encounter Jesus in the people in my life? You know, really seeing that every day I have opportunities to love Jesus in my wife, in her, in what she may need from me and what's happening in her life, or in my children, or in the people in my life, and especially in the poor. Do I encounter Jesus in the people in my life? And then lastly, we need to feed our minds with the truth. The teachings of Jesus is handed on through the apostles, especially in our day and age where so many people are filling their minds with all this stuff from Hollywood, the secular media, social media. And that stuff shapes us. What we put in our mind begins to shape our imaginations and our desires. I want to make sure I'm looking at my life and pursuing the most noble things, and so I better feed my mind with the scriptures, the catechism, and good shows like Catholic Answers.
Yeah, well, you could say that again. But
no, really, yeah. Well, it's a part of feeding our minds.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it's entertaining, and it's fun to have on in the background when you're cooking dinner or driving home. But at the same time, I know what Catholic Answers does in bringing on good people, not me, but other people out there that can explain the truth better, you know. But all of that is helpful for forming the mind. It's better than just feeding your mind with what comes out of the secular world all the time.
888-318-7884, our number if you'd like to talk with Dr. Edward Sri about discipleship. One quick question before I do go to calls. I mean, I suppose Pope John Paul II, and it may well be that Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, it's the same, but following the Second Vatican Council and the exhortations of the Council Fathers, Pope John Paul II talked about mission a great deal. As a matter of fact, it was like a papacy of trying to get people to take up the mission. Could you just say a quick word about the connection between discipleship and our mission?
That might be a follow-up book here, because this is my focus on this. But the point is this. If I truly encounter Jesus, if I begin to experience his love, his forgiveness, his healing power in my life, I experience the change. My life is better in following Jesus. If I see Christ makes a difference in my life, I want to just share him with other people.
Yeah.
So the idea of mission and evangelization isn't like, oh, that's an extra thing for like the really super Christians. No. If you are really a true follower of Jesus, a true disciple who's encountered Jesus, then you naturally are driven to want to do all you can to share him with other people. So that's why I love the imagery that Pope Francis uses of missionary disciple. We're all, any disciple is called to be a missionary, and if you're doing any kind of apostolate work, you better be a disciple first.
Well, you phrase it in a very positive way. I think I was thinking kind of negatively, like, don't try mission if you haven't tried discipleship.
Well, that's the whole, I think that's, you know, the Papal Nuncio recently talked about, missionary disciple, yes, but disciple first.
Yeah. Right.
In other words, it flows. Any kind of mission has to flow from our own encounter with Christ.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Gil in Manhattan, New York, listening on Catholic Radio there in New York. Gil, thanks for calling. Your question for Dr. Sri.
Catholic Answers very much. I have a question about John 15:12, where Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How would that apply to discipleship and evangelism? Because I know that in Acts 2:42 it says they devoted to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to follow the question there. So love one another as I have loved you. Yeah, I think that would relate to one of the points in Acts 2:42 about fellowship, right? I think that's the point I was making there, is that we're called to love Jesus in our neighbor. You know, whether it's the neighbor in my own home, my own family, whether it's my colleagues, the people in my neighborhood, whether it's the poor, I'm called to love Jesus. So love one another as I have loved you. So I'm called, that's a crucial part of my discipleship. And I emphasize that because sometimes we can have a me and Jesus mentality. It's just about me and Jesus, my spiritual life, and, you know, I'm just focused on praying and praying and praying and studying and studying and studying, but it's just me and Jesus. You know, actually, one key marker of growing in holiness that the saints describe is, how do you grow in your love of neighbor? Are you more gentle with them? Do you notice you're growing in patience with them? Do you notice yourself growing in generosity and service toward them? Especially when they irritate you and they hurt you, how do you respond? Do you respond like Jesus, who said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do"? Do you respond with great compassion on those that may not be living a great life? That's a sign of Christ's life transforming your heart. So I think what you're hitting on, love one another as I have loved you, that would be a great scripture verse that could really be at the heart of that idea of Christian fellowship that Acts is describing. One of the key habits of a disciple is to love Jesus in our neighbor.
Well, how does that strike you, Gil?
That gives me hope, because the Bible says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us," according to Romans chapter 5, or whatever verse.
Gil, indeed, and I'm sorry, I was waiting for Dr. Sri, but I think we got a three-way thing going on here that got a little confused. But Gil, I always appreciate it when you call. Appreciate the question. Thank you so much. 888-31-TRUTH is our number here. Dr. Edward Sri is our guest. Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ is the book. I did forget to mention, you're doing a podcast now. You want?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, for a couple of years, people have been asking, "Dr. Sri, you got to start a podcast?" And I'm just like, you know, I'd love to, but I've just been busy, and finally this last year I started one. It's been fun. It's called All Things Catholic. So if someone goes on iTunes and just searches my name, Edward Sri, they would find it. And I just did a fun episode. I had my first guest on the show, and she's a really honored guest. It was my wife, and we were talking about things we wish we knew before we were married. This was really fun, fun kind of podcast. So it's all about just understanding our faith better so we can live it out more.
Right. So you can get the podcast at at edwardsri.com, right? Is that correct?
They can go right to my website, edwardsri.com, or they can go on iTunes and search my name, Edward Sri, there, SRI, or go to Google Play, and they should be able to find it there as well.
And they're probably going to find Symbolon as well. Isn't that what you're most well-known for, Symbolon?
That has been a program I'm so excited, so blessed to have been a part of. You know, I think the new Mass translation, when that came out, every parish was using that. So that, I think, a lot of when I travel around the country, that's probably the one I hear the most about from people using it. But certainly, Symbolon is a program I know thousands of parishes using, especially for RCIA. Such a blessing to work with the team at the Augustine Institute and so many of the professors there, and then many other teachers and our awesome video crew to help unpack the Catholic faith for people. So that was definitely a great blessing being a part of Symbolon.
Dr. Edward Sri is our guest. The book, Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ. You mentioned before how the whole third section of the book, the last section of the book, gets to those four key things that come from Acts chapter 2, the teaching of the apostles, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. I want to go back to fellowship only for this reason. We had a caller earlier, a call about the isolation in the world today, the loneliness, the vast loneliness, really. It's kind of an epidemic. Can you say a word about fellowship as part of discipleship?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, when I think about fellowship here, and why it's so important, we can forget this. We could think, okay, hey, I'm my faith has taken off, I'm learning a lot, learning apologetics and learning about the Eucharist, and I'm doing all these great devotions. But if I don't surround myself with some other good friends that are pursuing the same things, I'm not going to be challenged to live out as well as I could. You know, it's kind of like my wife is a distance runner. She loves to run. She's a number of half marathons, a number of marathons. But when she can go out for a run, and she'll go out and run on her own. But she loves to go on a Saturday morning longer run. But she's less likely to accomplish just on her own. But when she knows she's got a friend, and she's got a number of friends here in the Denver area that she'll just go on a run with. Like, do you have that running partner, not just for physical running, but do we have that for those who can run with us after Jesus? Like, they're running after the same things.
Yeah.
So whether I'm a single person on a college campus and I'm the only person, I feel like I'm the only really devout Catholic there, that's going to be hard for my faith to survive if I'm just on my own. I need to go find other Catholics who are on fire.
I didn't watch the clock right. We got to go. Dr. Sri, Ted Sri, okay. Thanks so much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.